Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The passion and purpose of the Christian Research Institute is to contend earnestly for the faith once for all delivered to the saints by focusing on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. To connect with CRI, call 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. And now here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada, indeed around the world. I was reading earlier on today Philippians chapter 4, where the Apostle Paul says, "I rejoice greatly that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not just saying this because I am in need, because I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. But I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want, because I can do everything through him who gives me the strength. And yet, it was so good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one single church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I'm looking for your gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account." Paul never talks about a give-to-get scheme, but what he does talk about is participation in the gospel. And what he makes clear, not only here but elsewhere, is that while you can't take what you have with you, you can send it on ahead. What we're talking about is laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We're asking you to stand with us all this month, shoulder to shoulder, in the battle for life and truth. You can do just that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. We'll go right to the phone lines. Warren, he's listening in Canada, Edmonton, Alberta. Hi, Warren.
Hi, Hank. I don't want to go too much into my testimony, but my son went through a six-year battle with cancer and ended up going home to the Lord. And one of the things I've struggled with is, like in Jeremiah 29:11, you know, his plan to prosper us, or in the Psalms where it talked about, "Delight in me and I'll fulfill all your desires." Should those things be taken literally? And if so, then do I look at that as a reflection of a chink in my faith armor type of thing? Or what's the best way to interpret that?
Sure. And I don't think that any Christian can look at life from merely a temporary perspective. One of the realities that we have is that we live in a fallen world. In that fallen world, the death rate is one per person. Everyone is going to make it. We all get sick. Eventually, we all die. That is the reality of the life that we live in this temporary flesh. And so Christianity doesn't come along anywhere and give us a peaceful way to come to terms with the maladies of life, but rather something far greater, a way to overcome them through resurrection. So are we promised a panacea? No. What we're promised is peace. "My peace I give unto you," not as the world gives. Peace in the midst of the storm. And so we don't give to curry favor from God. We give because there are real needs in the world that we can meet as ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And certainly the war generation understood just that. They knew what it meant to catch the contagious joy of giving. And as a result, they were empowered to spread the gospel around the globe. They fed the hungry. They clothed the naked. They cared for the sick. They founded centers of Christian education, hospitals, relief organizations. They left an indelible mark on their generation. When you think about why we are today losing the culture wars, it's lack of commitment. It's lack of sowing seeds for a harvest. And oftentimes it is the horrifying notion that giving is for temporary prosperity or for financial prosperity. If we give, we will be prosperous and successful, but we do not measure success and prosperity the way that the world does. The point is that we view wealth with eternity in mind. The scriptures teach us to lead our lives here below as responsible stewards, whether we have a little or a lot, so that one day at the judgment, God himself will richly reward us. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Lee. He's in Arkansas. Hi, Lee.
Hi, hello. I was wondering if you could help me with something that a lot of us struggle with, especially the younger generation. The homosexual agenda is bombarding us all the time. And I'm wondering if maybe you could use a little bit of scripture to help us, you know, make sure, because we ask all the time, you know, are we doing the right thing by standing against the homosexual agenda, the same-sex marriages, because there's a lot of progressive Christianity out there, and it can be very confusing when you have, you know, so-called Christians that stand, you know, in favor of this stuff. You know, it seems like it's really starting to wear us down. I was wondering if you had some scripture to encourage us to keep standing strong against that kind of agenda.
I mean, I think you have to look at the broader issue, and that is participating in the principles of the kingdom. This is what we're called to teach people about. The king has landed in disguise, and he is calling all of us to a great campaign of sabotage, as C.S. Lewis put it. So we are those who are to say to the world, the king has landed. We can be co-laborers with Christ in changing this world. So it's not about a we-they-siege mentality against the world. It's not us boycotting the world. We can't do that. We're in the world. We're not of the world. And we transform the world through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're not even encumbered with results. What we are called to is simply faithfulness. Now, in terms of biblical clarification, the Bible teaches us the principles of the king and the kingdom. And in fact, the Bible tells us that those principles, when it comes to same-sex sexuality, are so clear that even Gentiles without access to direct revelation of Scripture have enough evidence in the natural realm to discover God's aversion to homosexual behavior. And that's why in the book of Romans, Paul describes both the perversion and the penalty. And I think that we do well to recognize that the Bible does not condemn homosexuality in some kind of capricious fashion. It carefully defines the borders of human sexuality so that our joy may be complete. It doesn't require an advanced degree in physiology to appreciate the fact that the human body is not designed for homosexual relationships. So whatever the slogans and the sound bites, they don't change the scientific reality that same-sex sexuality are devastating not only from a psychological but also from a physiological perspective. So what are we to do? Are we to create some kind of a we-they-siege mentality? The LGBT community has donned an iron boot seeking to crush anyone that stands in their way. And so we say, okay, you're going to do that? We're going to show you we have economic clout and power too, and we're going to put on an iron boot and we'll crush you back. No. What we ultimately recognize is that the way that culture is changed is by changing the heart. And we recognize even more that the problem for lack of transformation in the culture is that we have not been salt and light in the culture. Well, we've been essentially, it's a microcosm of the culture. So what we do is we tell people that they can become believers, every eye closed, every head bowed, raise your hand, I saw your hand, you're now a believer. But if the appetites of the body do not change, then what you become is a baptized secular humanist, an imitator of the culture as opposed to a cultural transformational change agent. And then we divide ourselves. You wonder why the salt doesn't permeate the water? It's in Ziploc bags, and quite a few of them were compartmentalized. So we're not affecting the culture. And now when the culture is going in a different direction, we say, well, we're going to boycott the culture. I don't think that's what we want to do. What we want to do is give ourselves afresh to not just an intellectual head fake, but rather to the transformational process that not only changes culture, but first changes us, so that we become imitators of Paul as he is an imitator of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We'll be right back with more answers.
As the erosion of truth and hostility against Christians continues to gain momentum, Christians must stand together for life and truth, no matter the cost. Stand together with the Christian Research Institute during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. To make a special gift to CRI, simply call 888-7000-CRI and support CRI's life-changing outreaches or visit equip.org. We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so stay tuned.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Marxism, rebranded as socialism today, is making a comeback, and in the politics of the progressive left, the makeover is complete. But Marxist theory suffers the same malady as every materialist theory. It contradicts the existence of the theorist. Other topics include, what's the problem with conversion therapy? Does Galatians 5 forbid the use of medicine? The films of Alfred Hitchcock in the age of Instagram, honoring dishonorable parents. Athanasius, a C.S. Lewis of the early church, the historicity of Moses, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.
And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And all this month, we will be talking about the fiscal year end. I really need your help. I'm asking people to stand with me all this month, shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. Again, without your help, we certainly cannot continue doing what we're doing, but together we can make a difference, not only for time, but also for eternity. So please be generous this month as we approach fiscal year end, June 30. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource consultants, as always, they're standing by 888-7000. And the letter is CRI. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Tammy. She's listening in Oklahoma. Hi, Tammy.
Hi, Hank. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you.
I listen to your show all the time when I'm driving, which is 90% of my work day. And it's very thought-provoking, which has brought me to this call today. I believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God, breathed by God. My question is, why is there not more? Why did it stop when it stopped? I mean, why did God quit communicating with us in written form? He inspired all the writings, and then it just stopped. I mean, they were written on parchment and scrolls and whatnot. We progressed to the age of cell phones and internet. I mean, why did God stop writing when he did? What's your thought on that?
Yeah, and of course you can get the Bible on your cell phone today, on a smartphone. So it's not just on parchment or papyrus. But yeah, I mean, what's important to realize is that God continues to speak to us. I mean, the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they proclaim knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their words go out to the ends of the earth. So God continues to speak to us, but he will never speak to us in a way that's other than what he's already given to us, something that we have a basis for verification with. So what we have is the very real issue here of authority. God himself sets up the conditions by which new revelations must be ratified, and that is confirmation by those who were eyewitnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And therefore, with the death of the apostles, there can be no new revelations. God can reveal things from what he has already given to us. And let me say that that is an inexhaustible treasure chest. I continue to dig into that treasure chest and learn more and more. And quite frankly, as I go through the scriptures each day, I find out how little I already know about what could be known. So here I have been studying the Bible all these years, and I have just a little wisp of what could be known in the full scope of things that God has already given to us. So I don't think it's a matter of having more and more, but it's taking what we have and applying that in our lives, knowing it, memorizing it, but not just being familiar with the menu. You know, you could come up with new menus, but we have a menu that's inexhaustible to begin with. But it's not just about knowing that menu. It's recognizing that that menu points to a meal. And that's really where the payoff is. The payoff is to experience the living God. So Christ did not only save us by his death, he saved us into his life. He's come that we might have life and have life more abundantly. So while we're focused rightly on truth, we must also recognize that life matters more, that we can have life and have it to the full. And I think that's where people are missing out. It's not as though we don't have enough revelation. It is that we are not taking that revelation and seeing where it points and then partaking of where it points. And you know, the other thing that's kind of interesting when you think about this, how in the world would we know that someone is authentic unless we had something to test them by? I was reading through Charisma magazine, and quite frankly, it put me into almost a state of depression. I just could not believe the truckloads of heresy in one magazine. And I kept thinking as I was reading through that magazine, wow, if only people would test what is being said in light of what God has already said. Now, the new sightseers of today's generation, I mean, they say all kinds of crazy things. But if you look at the apostles, we don't say what they say is crazy because, first of all, there's a perspicuity, there's a clearness and consistency within itself when you look at the scriptures. You also have those who were eyewitnesses of Christ's majesty and can testify to the main and plain things. The fact that Jesus Christ is God, the fact that Jesus rose from the dead, that Jesus Christ is coming again. How many people today know the Ten Commandments or the 12 Apostles, much less wanting more and more sensational stuff? You know, remember the big blood moons phase? I mean, everybody's talking about that. Maybe big deal out of it, and that phase will pass. It's this titillation that really distracts people. It's not that we don't have enough.
Right. Okay, that makes sense.
Well, Tammy, appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Karen. She's listening in British Columbia, Canada, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Karen.
Hello, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome, Karen.
It sounds to me as if you might have partially answered my question, actually, when you were talking to the lady just previously called.
Uh-huh.
My question has to do with, what is a prophet in your understanding of prophet and what they do? I'd like to know, like, who are the prophets? What do they do? When are they in a lifetime? And where are they generally located?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. And I would say that the New Testament has an idea of prophecy that's different from what you find in the biblical revelation. So in the biblical revelation, you have prophets in the Old Testament like Jeremiah or Isaiah or Ezekiel, and they were spokespersons for God. They would speak and God's word would be on their tongue, as it were. And they were ratified within the context of history. So if Isaiah said something would happen, it happened precisely as he said it would happen. And you know that God was speaking through these prophets, because as God himself said, I told you these things before they happen. So when they happen, you would believe. So the apostles and the prophets of the Old and the New Testament were infallible. And because they were infallible, and because you can't take what they said and pawn it off to good guessing or common sense or luck, we can have great assurance that these are the words of God. Now, in the New Testament, Paul also talks about prophesying. But now he's not saying, let's be another little Isaiah or Ezekiel. He's saying what we need to do is prophesy in the sense of strengthening, encouraging, equipping, edifying, exhorting the body of Christ. So what we do is we speak God's words after him, or think his thoughts after him, as opposed to coming up with some new prophecy about what's going to happen in the future. So prophecy is not foretelling the future, it is forthtelling. So we already know that the Bible is true because it corresponds to reality. What God said would happen did happen, so we have a reliable source. God, however, is not telling us anything about what's going to happen in the future. So we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen next month. We don't know when Jesus is going to appear again a second time. God doesn't tell us any of that. What he tells us to be faithful, to continue to foretell, to encourage, exhort, edify, and equip.
Okay, well, that answers my question for now, and I really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
You got it. I wrote about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. I answer the question, are there apostles and are there prophets today? And again, I answer this in a very concise fashion in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. For those who join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, be pleased to send you a personalized copy to you, a family member or a friend. You can check this out on the web at equip.org or write me at Box 8500 Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And do remember, you can also talk to our resource consultants. They're standing by. You pick up the phone and talk to them at 888-7000 and the letters CRI. This is the end of the fiscal year push, as it were. And so we're asking people to be generous. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Do remember, when you go to the web, you'll see the resources I talk about on the show. You'll also see our award-winning magazine, the Christian Research Journal, all of that on the web at equip.org. We'll see you right back here Monday, the same time. Look forward to answering more of your questions then.
Thank you for joining us today. June is one of the most important months for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. That's because we close out another financial year, and we can do so successfully only if listening friends like you stand with us prayerfully and financially. With your gift, you'll help CRI impact even more lives with God's truth and equip Christians as authentic disciples of Christ. Please call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The problem with same-sex attraction conversion therapy is the way it is defined and presented, sometimes inaccurately, sometimes dishonestly. And like other forms of counseling, some of its practitioners have erred grievously, but that hardly calls for an end to sound versions of the practice itself. Other topics include history's bloody mess, why Marxism and socialism always fail, should Christians participate in boycotts, Athanasius, a C.S. Lewis of the early church, honoring dishonorable parents, the historicity of Moses, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.